For those that don't know me, my name's Phil, and I'm on a journey. And my journey at the moment includes being on a course called Empower. And we went away last weekend to France, which for some of you will be interesting. For some of you will be a divine moment. For me, I just found it being surreal in that place at that time when so much devastation was happening up the road. And one of the things that came to us as people that are on a journey was the word to expect the unexpected. And we dwelled on that word, and none of us could really sort of come up with a reason why we shouldn't believe it. So in faith, we believe it, and we believe it for ourselves, and we believe as a group of people on a journey that is a Lord word for this time and this moment. But I've been reflecting on that this week, because since that time, some unexpected things have happened. And they're things that we as a family are walking through, praying through, and making sure that even in that time of expecting unexpected things, that we actually do the things that the Lord wants us to do, and not allow ourselves and our own emotions and our own feelings grab the moment and take us somewhere where we don't or shouldn't be. So I believe that we should all, as believers, expect the Lord to touch our lives in an unexpected way. But then, while we reflect and while we ponder on those words, what does that practically mean? Because quite often, He does speak to us with His still small voice, and we sometimes don't hear it. So what does it mean? What does it mean when something comes, when something happens, something said, a situation occurs, a life crisis comes our way, and we're standing there believing in Jesus, believing in what He means for us? What does it mean when we are walking through life to expect the unexpected? And all my prayer is that I become someone who carries on wanting to learn, wanting to be taught, wanting a new revelation of His word in my life, wanting to let little children take the collection when we haven't asked for it, wanting to respond when He gives us that unexpected word, and just laying ourselves down and just being obedient. So if that's a word for you this morning, I just pray that you dwell on it, pray that you expect the unexpected, and be ready to lay something down, to change position, to give up maybe one of your hopes and dreams that isn't coming to fruition, that actually the Lord is saying to you, just let it go. It means so much to us in so many different ways. So my prayer is that we just dwell on that word this morning, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And in Scripture, or in Greek, they're called kairos moments, as interventions of God, that the heaven breaking in. Yes, we expect heaven to always be breaking in, but there are those moments, like Phil said, the unexpected. A couple of disciples had it when they were walking on a road to a place called Emmaus, and Jesus appeared, and they didn't recognise Him. And we want to be a people who recognise God's interventions, to expect the unexpected, where the supernatural is natural. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Jane now. It's good to be, we've got a lot to do this morning. It's great to worship You and build God's presence. Let's remain in that place and to grab yourself a seat.
As we've been worshiping, do you know there's such a sense of the holiness of God in this place today. And God is holy with an H. But He wants us holy with a WH. He wants us completely. He wants us completely. But He's a holy God. And He will never force us. He will never force us to let things go. He will never force us to pick things up. And just as Phil was bringing what God's been speaking to him, we have a decision and a choice in those things, to let them go or to pick them up as God's speaking to us. But he is a holy, holy God. And he wants us holy, absolutely and completely, all of us, every part of us. So Father, we say, come and have your way in our midst. Come and have your way in our midst, Lord God. We honour your presence with us. We acknowledge your holiness in our midst. And we give you permission to have all of us. All of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brilliant. Thank you, Julian. Amen. So this morning we've got our commissioning service. All sounds very grand, doesn't it? So I'm just going to let you know what's happening, because as I say, it's going to work slightly differently this morning. So the kids are going to go out shortly, but they're just going to be out for 20 minutes because we want them to be back and part of what we're doing as a body, because they are the church with us. So Jane and Linda will be taking them out for 20 minutes and we'll let you know when we finish so the kids can come back in. And when the kids come back in, if you can stay with your families, because we're going to very much do this as a family based thing. I shall hand over to you. So let's just pray for the kids and the young people and Jane and Linda as they go out, as I say, just for 20 minutes this morning. So Father, we pray your blessing on the young people as they leave us this morning. Father, I want to pray that they get a real heart for what being part of church family is. Father, would you forgive us if in any way we've ever marginalised the children in our churches? And we pray that they would be right at the very centre, Lord God, of church life. Lord, they'd be very much a part of everything that goes on in this place for your glory. Amen.
Amen. We'll send out a messenger in 20 minutes or so to retrieve the kids and to rescue you. We've called today our Commissioning Sunday. But what's that all about? Let me read something from the Bible to set that in context. It's some familiar verses from Matthew 28:16-20. Here's what we read. It's from the ESV, I think I'm taking this from. Here's what it says. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Astounding as it may seem, God has allowed redeemed humanity, you and me and others, to partner with him in bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth and to reach the world with the good news of Jesus. The mission, therefore, is not just God's mission, but it's ours as well, a co-mission, and us as his co-labourers. A little later in the meeting, we're going to create the opportunity for those who know they're called by God to this church to make some promises and to be commissioned into being an active part of CGC Billericay. We did it last year, so this might be afresh, or this might be for the first time. We'll explain a little bit more of the ramifications, what I mean by that, a little bit later on. If the church is to partner with God, then it's essential we do things God's way. He is, after all, the senior partner in this relationship that we're co-partners with him on. A couple of years ago, if you were with us, I think it might well have been at the Rising Sun, I did a teaching. I think it was at the Rising Sun, actually, so it was a while back. I did a teaching on the church, capital C, and really looking what it means, referencing 1 Peter 2, when it speaks about Christians being living stones in the body of Christ. I was trying to hunt out the audio, but I couldn't find it. Just let you remind you of what the scripture says in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. On that subject, it says this: as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I'm being called home. I need to finish this quickly. But hold those angels. Hold those angels. There are some key things that this passage reveals to us. Don't joke, it could have been the real thing. I need to deliver this verse. Okay, some key things just from that. And it's a bit of a recap if you heard it the last time we went through it. God is building a house which is made up of redeemed humanity. As I say, you and me and believers across the globe. It's not a physical house, but a spiritual house. Whilst in the natural, buildings typically don't have life, in the spiritual realm, God's spiritual realm, everything is living, and that includes stones. And that's for one reason, because God's life courses through it and through us. Surprising as it may seem, God has chosen you and me to be part of this spiritual house, which leads me on to another point. We cannot effectively be part of God's house if we're not aligned to the building's cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. We cannot effectively be part of God's house if we're not effectively aligned, personally, I'm talking about, to the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. Everything else is predicated on that. Aligning ourselves to our area of service, our ministry, our denomination, even other Christians, without first establishing our positioning upon Jesus, will ultimately lead to fruitlessness. This isn't my own thought, my own idea. Jesus had something to say on the matter in John 15, verse 5. He says these words: I am the vine. That's Jesus. You, us, we are the branches. Whoever abides in me, in Jesus, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, the cornerstone, you can do nothing. We can't do anything. Everything has to flow from Jesus. Absolutely essential. And just one more point. It isn't just Jesus and me. Just singular, that make up this building. One brick doesn't make up a house. It's pretty self-evident. But one living stone doesn't make up the spiritual house of God either. And that needs to be said. Anyone who thinks, any of us, and I'm sure we don't here, thinks they can be a Christian independent of the body of Christ or other believers, really, is misguided. And if they're deliberate about that, they understand that. They're also in disobedience as well. But we're not meant to be solitary. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, not to neglect meeting together with other believers. And just if we need this point about the priority of the church underscored and the importance of the body of Christ underscored, Ephesians 5:25, it says this, reflecting Jesus' love for the church: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus gave himself up for this thing, which is the body of Christ. We have to love it. We have to love it because Jesus loves it. We have to love what he loves. To distance ourselves from other believers, or to maintain a poor connection even with them, has both a negative effect on us and it has a negative effect on others. It removes from us the spiritual life that's going to flow from another believer to us, which God wants us to be blessed by. You know, we talk of the, we use the expression body ministry, but also it removes from someone else the blessing. We can be upon them as well. We carry Christ's life. And if we are isolated from other believers, that life in us isn't necessarily going to be flowing into them. So those, it's two sides of the same coin. But in drawing this in shortly to a close, there is more to this spiritual house that God is building. And I just want to read a chunk of scripture, and then we'll explain what it, and Jane will take on from me in that. And it's from Genesis 28, verses 10 to 22. So it's a little bit of a chunk. Just listen to this. You don't have to turn to your Bibles necessarily. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord God stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land in which you, on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, the north, and the south. And in you and your offspring shall all families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Just stopping there, it's interesting that thing that Phil said, God was in this place and he did not know it. Those Kairos moments, we need to be spiritually savvy. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I will go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I will come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give a tenth to you. The house of God is not only a place where the dynamic of heaven flows down into humanity, but it's also a gateway to see that life of heaven released into the world. And that's what we're about, isn't it? And really, it's a powerful picture, I think, of the operation of the church, how Jesus sees it. Jacob rested on a rock. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our rock, our Sabbath rest, the place where we abide and where our lives find fulfillment. With Jesus as our rock, the person that we rest resolutely upon, who we align ourselves to as the cornerstone, our lives are then aligned with God, allowing the life and activity of heaven to course through us, as that picture of the angels ascending and descending. It's a wonderful picture. You've seen pictures of waterfalls, I'm sure, in exotic locations, of lovely pools, and the waterfalls just pouring into that, and then this lovely pool. And that's a brilliant picture. God's life cascading down, but then the pool representing the accessible life of heaven for us and the world. So as living stones, drawing this to a close really, in God's house, abiding, remaining, resting on the rock, as Jesus, the free flow of heaven's life can be our constant experience. It can be. That's our choice. With this dynamic established in Jacob's experience, he declared the place the gate of heaven. And so with those dynamics also available to us as a church, what does it look like, therefore, for the house of God to be a gate of heaven, an access point to God in this church, in this town, in this region? What does it look like, Jane?
got carried away, didn't I? Dear, shame on me. So what does it look like for us to be a church, or indeed to be individuals, where the life of heaven courses through us and flows out into our region? One thing is certain, it won't happen by default. I like gardening. I'm not a great gardener, but I like gardening. But what I do know is if I want flowers to grow, I have to plant flowers. Because if I don't plant flowers, the weeds will grow. If as a church we want to live in that flow from heaven, that flow of God's love and power, we need to be intent on loving people as God loves them, and expecting the power of God to manifest through us in signs and wonders and miracles. That needs to be our expectation. That needs to be our intention. Now, CGC Billericay, we have a vision statement. Can I have that up, please, guys? Just move out the way so you can see it. So, I will read it out and Greg will scroll it down as we go. So, CGC Billericay has at its heart a desire to see people connect with and encounter God. This is outworked by showing God's love in practical ways, in serving and honouring our community, in presenting the truth of God's word accurately and fully, in praying for the sick to be healed, in making the life of Jesus available to all. CGC Billericay is committed to facilitating restoration in the lives of men, women and children, so they can embrace the full life that Jesus has for them. I believe that's what it looks like to be a gateway of heaven. If we can step into that vision statement that God gave us 3 years ago, and as I read it, I'm thinking, this is really good stuff. I haven't read it for a while. But you know, you just see, actually, God knew exactly what he wanted us to be doing. As a church, we want to be looking for ways to actively engage with our community. We already support street pastors, school ministry in Billericay, and they are great examples of what serving our community looks like, bringing the life of heaven to earth in practical ways, of loving with intention. Of loving with intention. Last year, we shared the vision that God had given us for a Love Billericay Centre in our high street. Having a facility that serves our community right in the middle of a high street. We have been, and we need to continue to pray into that, just because nothing practically has happened in the last year does not mean that it's gone away, because I don't believe that it has. God's timing for these things is perfect, but we need to start praying into what that's going to look like. We need to be praying for the resources of finance. Where there's vision, there will always be God's provision, always. That's been our experience in the little and the big things in life, and this will be a big thing, but God will resource it. We need expertise. The whole place needs to be kitted out. We need expertise in that. We need the practical to make it a reality. But that is something that we need as a church to be praying into. Andy and I believe very strongly, and as we've prayed it through with our key leaders, we just have this sense that in the new year we'll be coming increasingly outward focused and more intentional engaging with our community. We need to be praying for increased awareness of what our community needs and start to be prepared to be the solution. What does loving Billericay look like? What does it look like practically? What does that flow of heaven to earth look like? And just as in a garden, sometimes it's a bit of hard work is needed to dig up the stuff, to plant intentionally. So there may be some heavy lifting that needs to be done, both spiritually and physically. But God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine. Our vision statement is on our website. So I would encourage you to pray into that. God, what does this mean for me? What does it mean for us as a church as we press into that in the coming months? Phil, could you go and get the kids back in? Thank you. I'll just wait till they're back in and then we can carry on. We will be taking communion as well. I hope you've noticed our new amazing communion holders. We are growing up as a church. And as far as the children are concerned, you know, as parents, if you are happy for your children to take communion, then we are happy for the children to take communion. So that is totally, you know where they stand before the Lord. So we are totally, totally happy in that. Here they come. Come on back in, guys. If you can sit with your parents, that would be brilliant. So what we're going to do is, in a moment, I'm just going to ask those people who serve in the life of this church, and I've got a very long list of the areas of service, so just ask you to stand, and I want to pray for you. And then Andy and I and Alan and Jen and Jane as your kind of pastors and key leaders would really value you praying for us. So we're just going to come out the front so that you can pray for us. Then Andy and I, we'll say the commissioning declaration. Then Andy and I are going to pray over the body. We're going to take communion. And then at the end, Alan and Jen and Jane and Andy and myself are just going to be, we want to prophesy over each person in the church. So you can either come as family groups, so we can pray over you as a family, prophesy over you as a family, or you can come as individuals. So that's kind of how it's going to roll for the next 15 minutes or so. Okay, but obviously if there's any of that you don't want to engage with, then that's totally fine. Please feel free. So I'm going to read out a list of areas of service in the life of the church. And if this this is something that you're involved with, at the end I'd just like you to stand so that I can pray for you. So those areas that we have in the life of the church that serve the body, we've got the welcome team and the hospitality team. We've got the worship team. We've got the audio visual guys. We've got intercessors. We've got the children's leaders. We've got those who deal with finance. We've got the ministry team. We've got life group leaders. So if you are involved in any of those things, can I ask you to stand now, please? I'm just going to read some scripture and then I'm going to pray. For as in one body we are many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And all of that is for the building up of the body. So, Father, I want to pray for each person who serves in this place. Father God, we thank you for them. We thank you for those things that are done that just enable church to happen. We thank you for the sacrifice that people make, whether that's sacrifice of time, finance, energy. Father, I want to pray that you would bless them with all that they need, that you would equip them and anoint them in the act, in the area of service that they're involved in. And I want to pray for a release of giftings in this place, Father. I want to thank you that we can do nothing that's of any use in our own strength. And I pray for these men and women, Lord God, that you would equip them and enable them and resource them with everything that they need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please do grab a seat. Yeah, so Alan and Jen and Jane, if you want to come and join us.
Yeah. Okay, so we're now going to move on to this. It's a commitment, really. If you know that you are called by God to this church, and this isn't to exclude anyone, because I know, you know, you join this church, you come along, you might just be on a journey. That's fine. But if you know that you're called to this church at this time for this season, then we'd love you to stand and we join with us, and we're going to be saying this as well, a simple declaration to God of our commitment to him, to this church, and to his plans and purposes within what we presently call CGC Billericay.
And just so you realise, there are some church with little c and church with big C, and that's not a typo. It's significant. Church with little c is our church here. Church with big C is the church, and whether that's the church in Billericay or whether that's the church, and it's really important that we actually hold those two things in tension, because it isn't all about little church. Not that we're little church, but just so that we acknowledge the difference. Okay. Can I invite those of you who want to say this to please stand? If you are able, obviously. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the reason for us being here today, and that it is you who has called us to be part of this church. We surrender our lives afresh to you as our Saviour and our Lord. We commit ourselves to the building up of your church and to each other. We will seek first your kingdom in this church, in Billericay, and the areas in which you call us to serve. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit so that we will be fully equipped to live in the flow of your love and power. Enable us to carry your presence everywhere we go. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'd like to keep standing to your feet just a second, please. Just saying this on behalf of Jane and me, really, as Alan and Jen and Jane. As the leaders of CGC Billericay, we commission, establish, and release you into all that God has for you within this church and its outworking in your spheres of influence. We declare fruitfulness, blessing, increase, breakthrough into every kingdom work that you set your hand to. We declare over your life God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and God's provision. In Jesus' name, amen. Please grab a seat. So now we're going to, as God's family, we're going to do what Jesus commanded us to do. We're going to just have a time of communion. It's okay if you can start sharing the bread and the juice around while I just read a bit of scripture to remind us, set some context for this. And I just before that, I was just reading in Acts this morning how in the early church, the things they devoted themselves to, the meeting together and the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, but also breaking of bread, sharing communion, reminding themselves why indeed they were a church. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Luke 11:23 says this, "For I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So we thank you, Jesus, that in giving your life for us in exchange, that you have given us fullness of life. And in taking this bread, we just say yes afresh to the life that you provided, Jesus Christ. Thank you, your life for our life. What a brilliant exchange. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so Jesus, likewise, we thank you that your blood was shed. We could never erase our sins because you're a holy God, as we've been reminded. And yet, God, out of your love, you gave Jesus to stand in our place, to take the punishment we deserved. And as his blood was poured out, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that a sacrifice atoned 100% always and intercedes for us now always in heaven for our sin. Thank you, Lord, that when we own Jesus as our Saviour, Lord, we are righteous in your sight. That's amazing. Thank you, Lord, you do not look on sin when you see us. You look on us as righteous children of God, and we give you thanks. Praise God. It's the first risk-assessed communion we've had, with Jane going up those ladders, and she's come down again. It's good. It's good. God is good. Obviously, we've overrun our time a little bit, but as I say, we would love to create the opportunity to really establish you by prophesying over your lives. We're not going to make a long thing of it, just for a minute or two. And what we're going to do is, as leaders, we're going to line up here. Simply, I'll ask you to come to the front. You've got five leaders to choose from. We're all carrying the same Jesus in us, so that's all good. So it's a win-win situation in that respect. And whether it's a family or an individual, we're simply going to give you a prophetic word. If you've got a phone and you want to record that, that's fine, or make a note of it after. And then you know, the meeting's closed in that respect. So if I can invite the rest of the leaders up here. Julian, do you want to just put a bit of music, and you obviously will prophesy you for you at the very end. You will probably do. So I'm going to put the microphone down. Is that clear? But it'd just be really good to establish us, to build ourselves up. And God wants to do that. Strengthen us each one.